The parable that Jesus says today is a really simple and straightforward parable in many respects. And in fact, one that I am sure many parents who are here at Mass this morning can relate to. Friday night and Saturday, I went up to my parents' house and stayed there and was able to spend time with my family, especially my nieces and nephews. All seven of them were there. There are seven of them under the age of six. And I would describe it in one word: loud. I now fully understand why anytime my grandpa used to come over and spend time at our house when we were growing up, that he would turn his hearing aids off before he came into the house. But watching my nieces and nephews interact with their parents and seeing how my brothers and sisters-in-law deal with them sort of was in my mind as I was reading this parable. Hearing my brother tell the story of taking his children to Mass is always entertaining, especially because his two sons like to give commentary on Mass loud enough for everybody who's sitting in the area to hear it. For example, when they went to a funeral yesterday morning at St. Michael's, my nephew had to announce, as the priest was coming down the aisle, "That's not Uncle Sean, that's Father Vince," as though people needed to know that. The other one saw a crack in the plaster on the ceiling of the church and felt it's his responsibility to make sure that everybody knew that the entire church was in imminent danger of complete collapse. The parable about these two sons is an interesting parable because neither one is really respectful of the father. One saying, "I won't go," and goes, and the other one saying, "I will go," and doesn't go. Both have a sort of disrespect for the father, but the question Jesus asks the religious leaders that he's talking to is, which one did the father's will? And there's a pretty straightforward answer to that. So on one level, as we read this parable, at least for me, I think it's a setup where Jesus is going to start talking about living a life of integrity. Let your no mean no and your yes mean yes. The first one who says, "I will not," we don't know the motivation why he says he won't. Is it a disrespect of his father? I can almost picture in a snarky voice him saying to his father, "You didn't say please, I'm not going." But something happened, something motivated him to change his mind as time went along, and he did ultimately go. The other one says yes, doesn't go. We don't know his motivation either. Did something change? Did he decide it wasn't worth it? Or did he have no intention of going at all? We don't know. But we know that there's something that's not lined up here, right? That there's a disconnect between the father's will, what the sons say, and how they act. And one could propose that this is a sort of lack of integrity, right? Knowing the father's will, assenting to it, and fulfilling it. And so it seems to be the interpretation that Jesus is going to give on it is be a person of integrity. Know what God's will in your life is, say that you believe in it, and now act like you believe in it. Now, that would be a good lesson, one for all of us to learn, right? That each of us at various times struggle in fulfilling God's will. That there are times when we are not people of integrity. That we don't live completely all the time in every circumstance in the same way as how we believe as Catholic Christians. So this one interpretation of the passage could be a very valid interpretation, a call to deeper integrity, living with virtue, being a disciple of the Lord, prayer, sacraments, works of charity, the whole thing. We know that. But I think Jesus is giving us something even more to ponder on. Because what about those moments when we're not fulfilling God's will? What do we do? I've heard over the years different people say, "I don't go to church because the church is full of hypocrites," or "I don't go to church because I don't want to be a hypocrite." Well, nobody likes hypocrites. That's true. But we all are. We all have those moments where we say one thing, profess to believe something, and act differently. Jesus takes this parable and he goes one step further And I think this next step is what we really need to hear. The tax collectors and the prostitutes have heard their faith. They didn't live according to it, but something else happened in their life. They encountered the preaching of John the Baptist, and they were willing to change their lives because of it. They were hypocrites who now aren't. And Jesus is praising them for that. The religious leaders who lived a deeper life of hypocrisy, proclaiming even more loudly that they believed, didn't act that way. But here are those marginalized in society whose lives were changed by the teaching of John the Baptist, and now encountering Christ are living a life as disciples. For them, it's a real commitment to make that change. For example, the way that the whole tax collection system worked was that the Roman Empire would find local people to do it. And if they agreed, they were given a minimum amount that they had to submit to the empire. How they made their own living was to raise above and beyond that amount. So as fellow Jews, they were viewed as traitors and sellouts to a foreign power. And the Jewish people knew that they were being extorted by their fellow Jews who were tax collectors. Therefore, their profession was one that had a reputation of being a traitor, and I am sure their social circles were also a result of that. For them to undergo conversion meant giving up their job, changing who their friends were, perhaps even moving to a different place. The conversion that they had through the encounter of John's preaching upended their entire life, but allowed them to then become people of integrity, people who hear the preaching of the kingdom, respond wholeheartedly, and now live in communion with Jesus. Yes, the first layer of the parable is pretty straightforward, but the second layer of the parable is even more important. If we want to be men and women of virtue and character and integrity, are we willing to change our whole life to reflect that? Are we willing to reorient our entire life around being a disciple of the Lord? The tax collectors and prostitutes ended up standing as a symbolic challenge to the religious leaders. Jesus calls them out in their ongoing hypocrisy while not condemning those who have already begun that process of conversion. So for us, we should hear this gentle call of Jesus, knowing that if we have fallen short in the past, there's no shame in redemption. To turn to the Lord and ask for the grace of that conversion, and therefore, to live a life as a disciple of the Lord with integrity, virtue, and character. Jesus does not condemn the hypocrites who are willing to convert, only those who remain stubborn. Which of the two sons did the will of the Father? The one who ultimately did it. And which of the disciples of the Lord will become saints? Those who fulfill God's will. So whatever our struggle may be, let us resolve to conversion a heart again, to seek after the Lord today, to let the past be the past, but to rise again in the newness of grace that God wishes to give us.